When it comes to shopping, aside from fresh food, I basically try and buy as much stuff as I can without leaving my house. I say to myself, why spend petrol money looking for a park to queue up in a noisy space when I can just order online? And I'm wondering, is that the same for you? My shopping habits are certainly a concern for retailers who have a physical shopfront, particularly those that have invested paying high rents to be in popular boutique shopping strips. And I do want to hear from you. Have you wandered down your shopping strip lately? Is it thriving? Or is it looking a bit tired, a bit dingy, with some of the shops empty and bits of rubbish around? We'd like to hear from you. You can leave a comment right now on our RN Life Matters Facebook page and do like us while you're there. Associate Professor of Marketing and Behavioural Economists, Gary Mortimer, is from Queensland University. He's with me now. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Michael. Great to chat.
Gary, I describe me. How common is my scenario?
Well, I think the rhetoric is around online and people shopping more on their smartphones and on their tablets, and that online has become sort of the death knell for strip shops and physical retail. I don't think that's really the case. When we take a look at, I guess, the sales and the proportion of sales that are going online, it's estimated that Aussies spend around about $28, $29 billion online. But that only represents about 8.5%, 9% of total physical retail sales. So still about 92 cents in every dollar still happening in a physical store. And I think the other thing that we need to consider is that many physical retailers, certainly your big brands, actually have a transactional online site. So
yeah, sure.
If you choose to shop online, that money is still going to a physical retailer.
And often the transaction online may mean, instead of you paying for postage costs, they say, you know, click and collect. You buy online, but you walk somewhere and pick it up.
Yeah, so that's very much around that convenience factor, and click and collect is certainly expanding pretty quickly. We've had an announcement earlier this week that one of Australia's largest hardware chains, Bunnings, will roll out click and collect across all of their stores by the end of this year. So they're really slow to the game, but that's sort of tapping into that busy consumer that still wants to actually experience some physical shopping environment, but doesn't have the time to traipse up and down aisles looking for products.
Well, Gary, if you're giving us those kind of stats suggesting that, in fact, online only plays a small proportion of our shopping behaviour role, what's going on? Because you've got these major outlets that have called it quits. I'll just name some of them just as an example. And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but Ed Harry, Maggie T, Marks, Pumpkin Patch, Payless Shoes, Roger David, most of Diana Ferrari, Mountain Designs, Gap, Avon, Esprit, the list goes on, and that doesn't include the host of small businesses.
Yes, so a lot of that list, in fact, nearly all of that list is apparel and clothing and accessories and footwear, and that's a sector of the retail environment that's really struggled over the last, I guess, 10 years, and there's a number of factors here. If we look at sort of the menswear fashion retailers, Ed Harry, Roger David, that went out at the end of last year, the start of this year,
yeah.
If we look at sort of menswear fashion retailers, and your listeners may agree, there's not a lot of difference between them, and those particular stores were selling the same style of clothing, the same $199 polyester suit, the $29 shirt. So between the brands, there wasn't any clear point of difference. So what happens when there's no point of difference? Shoppers look for, where can I get the best buy? Where can I find the best sale? And then they fall into that cycle of discounting. And I know when I walk through centres, I see 20% off, 30% off. There's a menswear retail that's consistently 70% off. It becomes a spiral. And while you discount to that point, you start to lose trust with your customers, that they have scepticism about, you know, what's your margins if you can discount at 30 or 40 or 70% off. And eventually you run out of business because there's just not enough people buying that product at that low price.
So are you saying that the physical shop front has a life, but if you haven't got a great business model that differentiates you from the rest of the competition, you're going to be dead in the water?
A great example, and I'm presenting this later today at a conference up here in Brisbane, is Coffland is coming into Victoria. So the Victorian government has signed off 3 development applications for a German hypermarket, Coffland. Coffland is owned by the Schwarz Group. It's the fourth largest retailer in the world. And I watched a number of incumbent retailers in those particular areas that the Cofflands are going to be built. Rather than investing time in their business, rather than looking at what can be their point of difference, spending time protesting and demonstrating against DAs and change. And protesting against change and a disruptor coming into the market is
DA being the development application, I take it, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Right. But sort of protesting and waving signs and saying save our stores, it's a bit like stopping your watch to save time. So change and disruption is going to constantly take place. It's now incumbent on retailers to say, well, the game is changing, and it's changing very, very quickly. How do I need to change my business? What's going to be my point of difference? And there's some retailers out there doing it really well and others that aren't doing it so well. And I think there is this catch call to go, well, if I'm not doing so well, I'm going to blame the online movement.
Well, Gary, I'd like to widen this conversation out a little further, if we may, and just remind people that there's a lot of regional towns and centres, along with our big cities, that are serving communities with often long-running outlets that have been synonymous with the local market for generations, and they're closing their doors as well. So if that's occurring, that can be really a downward spiral for the very lifeblood of community. So, I mean, are we seeing a fundamental change in any parts of the Australian market when it comes to the way people interact with their commercial communities?
So I think when we look broadly across not just capital cities but regional rural hubs as well, I think there's a desire for convenience and a desire for a point of difference. So you talk about click and collect, and I think whether you're rural or regional or urban, you still want to be able to buy quickly and buy what you want when you want, and I think that's changing. I think the other thing that's probably impacting on strip shops, that we talk about that high street environment, is the growth of shopping centres. And I think your listeners would agree that we look at some of the bigger shopping centres, how they've changed and developed over the last decade, it has been really interesting. Shopping centres are no longer about provisioning, buying your groceries and buying a T-shirt. You might go there and have a coffee, you might grab a meal. There's cinemas there, there's car wash facilities, there's gyms, there's childcare, generally sitting in transportation hubs, so bus terminals underneath them, libraries, services. They're becoming a hub of the community. So I think in some ways the success of the big modern shopping centre has been an impact on high streets, and therefore high streets now need to reinvent themselves to build that community around, getting people to go back to the high street areas.
Does that mean offering a specialised niche service? And when I say service, I mean having the staff that are actually properly trained and qualified to offer you something you can't get in a shopping centre.
Yeah, so there's some really good high street areas up here in Brisbane, where I'm based. James Street in the Valley, for example, has a really interesting eclectic mix of businesses. So there's some art galleries there, there's a movie theatre, there's some great bars, some good restaurants, but there's also some very high-end fashion, as well as sort of a good gourmet grocer. So it's a really good mix of businesses. But then I look at other areas up here in Queensland. Given Terrace at Paddington, which was great in the 80s, has really changed. It's a very, very long street, which means you can't sort of wander aimlessly down there just looking in shops, because there's a lot of distance between those areas. There's not a lot of tree line covering, so there's not a lot of shade, and in Queensland even in winter it gets quite warm. But if we compare that to sort of the emerging ones, Barden's another example, Rosalie's another great example up here, the top end of Logan Road at Woolloongabba is another great example. Lots of trees, lots of shade, a smaller compact high street area, and a really good mix of businesses, not just retail but food, entertainment, movie theatres and those types of things.
I'm speaking with behavioural economist Gary Mortimer from Queensland University about why we shop the way we shop. And I'd like to hear from you. Have you wandered down your local shopping mall or down your local main street? Is it thriving or is it looking a little tired? Are some of the shops empty? Leave a comment on our Facebook page. With us as well is Executive Director from the Australian Retailers Association, Russell Zimmerman. Russell, welcome. What are the retail figures saying that echo, or not, what Gary's talking about?
Well, firstly, they do echo exactly what Gary's talking about. The 50-year average for retail sits at around 3.80%
of growth
per year. If you look at the current May figures, we've seen a figure of 2.44%.
Well, that's a serious drop.
And it is a serious drop. But there's a really interesting figure in there, and that's around the online retailing, gambling and online. It's actually called, and I don't know why they have to put the gambling and online in there together, but they do. And that's sitting at 6.59% year on year. So it's actually sitting above the 50-year average. If you actually look over the past 12 months on that figure, it's sitting at about 7.13%. So it is pulling itself along quite nicely.
Rather sad, because I think some of that gambling figure would be online sports betting via your mobile device.
It probably would be. I think there's a couple of things we've got to take into account. And look, I certainly agree with what Gary said, but our lifestyle's changing. What we spend our money on has changed. Years ago, we didn't have Netflix, we didn't have Foxtel, we didn't have a mobile phone, we didn't have plans at home for our internet. Those sorts of things have become very, very important in our lives, and so our spending has shifted. I thought the other interesting point you raised was about clothing and footwear.
Which you'd think people would go into a store to try on, but obviously people are also a proponent or a component of them are buying online.
Well, yes, that's part of it, but there's also been some change from the international retailers that have come to Australia. So we've got the Zaras and the H&Ms, and they've certainly moved into that fashion area, most definitely in the men's area, but also across children's. And if you go back a few years ago, you'd walk down a shopping centre and you'd see a number of children's shops. You don't see those in retail centres anywhere near as much as what
well,
we used
to. Look at Pumpkin Patch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Closed down.
And look at what H&M offer. And even Zara Kids. So people are looking for a different product now. Now, if you don't move your business along, you're going to get left well behind.
Is there other factors we haven't talked about at play here as well? I'm talking about things like wage stagnation, where people don't feel they have as much disposable income as they might have once to go out and spend some bucks in their local centre. Is that one thing?
Look, I think it is part of it. It's not just the only thing. There's certainly, and it was interesting to see the Fair Work Commission award a 3% increase at the last minimum wage. We've also had two reductions in interest rates, so we're hoping that that may flow back into the retail economy. There's been a couple of things that have changed in recent days, and we're hoping that we'll see that transfer itself into the retail industry.
And what about urban congestion and traffic? Because, I mean, that's another thing that puts me off, is spending more in petrol than postage sending something to me.
Well, it's not only spending time in that traffic, spending money by getting there, but it's the time you spend in getting traffic. Look at shopping centres down here in Melbourne like Chadstone. On a busy day, you've got a line up to get in, and people do get sick of that. Now, people's habits are changing, and you will see a long way more people looking, particularly in Australia at the moment, online, and we're expecting that's where the big growth will be. It's interesting to note that in the US, there's a report come out that said it may have reached its point.
Online, you mean?
Online. Now, you need to remember that the US is around 5 years ahead of us, and it'll be interesting to watch over the next 5 years where online in Australia goes. I suspect it will continue to grow, but is an inflection point where it may slow off.
Well, if we're going to look at the US for some kind of guidance of where we might be in 5 years, let's not forget the rise and preponderance in some centres of what's called death malls.
Yep.
Which are basically ghost town malls where nothing happens anymore. There's weeds and, you know, old letters and correspondence blowing around, and there's nothing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you are going to see, as online rises in Australia, you're going to see more of those retailers looking at whether they can substantiate the number of bricks and mortar stores. And so they will review that, and I suspect that where they may have, you know, a couple of hundred stores now, there'll be a percentage of those that won't exist, particularly in what we call the B-class malls and C-class malls. They'll move out of those and remain only in those major shopping malls.
Gentlemen, we have to wrap this up, but just a quick word from you, Gary Mortimer. For those businesses who are struggling, some tips if they want to retain a physical shopfront?
Yes, so I know it's really easy for me to say you need to understand and develop and clearly position your point of difference. A lot of that comes back to understanding who your customer is and who you're actually serving. So a little bit of research, and I know that I often ask this question when I'm consulting with industries, well, who is your customer? And most cases, they don't really know who's walking through the door. Once you understand those customers' needs and their behaviours and their attitudes towards particular brands, you can then reposition your product accordingly. It is a brave move. And similar to Russell was saying, that I think we will see retailers right-size their fleet. We're seeing Big W announce the closure of potentially 30 stores. We're seeing Myer and closing stores as well. And that's just about repositioning that fleet to a profitable size.
Professor Gary Mortimer, Russell Zimmerman, thank you very much indeed. It's been only a small chat, but there's so much more to discuss, and hopefully those businesses out there are listening and are thinking about their next step forward. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Professor Gary Mortimer from the Queensland University. He is an economist and a behaviourist, and also we had Russell Zimmerman from the Retail Association.